Well, good morning, everyone. So those of you who are here in the room, I invite you to stand. If you're in the foyer, come on in. Let's do some singing. If you're online, make some noise in your RV. Let's worship the Lord together. One, two, three, four. Everlasting God, let's sing that out.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. We reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Us upon wings wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on the wing like eagles. Do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Amen. Well, good morning, and please have a seat if you haven't taken one already. My name is Andrew, and I'm the senior pastor here at Columbia Grove. Thrilled to have you here. For those who are joining us online, and I saw some folks from Seattle, a family from Oklahoma. So welcome, Buchanans. So for wherever you're joining us from or signing in from, thanks for taking some time to worship, just to set time aside, to set focus aside, to give it to the Lord, and to see how the Lord has something to say to you and to us, and how he wants to fill you up and meet you wherever you are. So. Now, today is kind of a special day for us in the life of our church, in that this is the time that we do our annual meeting. So we have a meeting immediately after the service that everybody is welcome to be a part of. And today we also have the privilege of welcoming a couple of new members. We've got a number of folks that are in the process, but the meeters, Joel and Cheryl, are coming in and with membership today. And I think they've got their grandkids with them, which makes it even more fun. So we're going to actually formally welcome them into membership now. Now, we are a church that makes our major decisions as a church body. And so being a member in the church here, it's more than like being a member at Costco or being a member at Bi-Mart or, you know, even the YMCA, because this isn't just to say, hey, this is my church. This is also, it's a form of leadership within the church where collectively the membership of the church make the major decisions
of the church. So it's not me that makes those decisions. It's not an elder board even that makes those decisions. It's the membership, the big ones, the really, really big ones. So we're thrilled to have you be a part of that, because as we've gotten to know your heart, you know, just such a heart for the next generation, and such a heart for evangelism, such a heart for outreach. Joel and Cheryl are going to make our congregation better and stronger. So I'm going to ask them, yeah, exactly, give them a hand. These are the questions that we ask one another as we come into membership, because these are some of the values that unite us as a congregation. So, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, and do you promise to follow Him as Lord?
I do.
That's what I thought, yes. Now, you've made public confession of your faith, and at some point in your life, you've been baptized. Do you accept the Holy Scriptures, so the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, as the Word of God and the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct? Is the Bible your book?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I do.
That's what I thought. Okay. And do you intend to live among God's faithful people to hear God's Word and to share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of Christ, which I know you're both super passionate about, through both word and deed, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?
I do.
That's what I thought. And do you also promise to support the ministries that we're connected to, like the denomination, the conference? You're okay with us having like missionaries and planting new churches and helping with global, like, you know, when people need fresh water, we give them fresh water, that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do.
That's what I thought. Okay. So congregation, invite you to stand. Do you welcome Joel and Cheryl into your fellowship and care? If so, say, we do.
We do.
That's what I thought. So give them a hand. And let's pray for them. So Lord, we just thank you for Joel and Cheryl. Thank you for the gifts that they bring to the congregation. Thank you for the ideas and passion and insights that they're going to bring into the decision-making life of the church. And so, Lord, we pray that we would partner well with one another, and most of all, with your work in our midst. Lord Jesus, have your way in this congregation, we pray, and use all of us to help all of us follow you more faithfully. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's give them a hand as they find a seat. I want to invite Heather to come up and pray for our kids, because we love our kids, and we've got some fantastic things happening in kids' church right now. So, yes. Heather, tell us about this.
Well, we are learning about some stuff.
That narrows it down.
I think we're finishing up the Ten Commandments. So one of them is like, I command that you make your bed in the morning. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. We are doing the last three commandments today. We're learning about how we shouldn't steal, how we shouldn't covet, you know, stuff like that. Pretty important to building relationships.
Yes.
You know, so we're just building our foundations is what we are doing in the last month, just studying on the Ten Commandments. So, and I see a lot of children today. I'm so excited to see a family that I haven't seen in, it feels like, eons. I'm so excited that the Capels are here. We just love seeing you, and it's just a joy to see your shining faces. So would you all join me as we pray for our children? Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for children. We thank you for new generations coming up. We thank you that you are lighting the fire and fanning the flame of loving you and learning about you, your word, and how to live. And we just thank you, and we bless the teachers that are in our Sunday school program. Help them to be energetic and let them be examples. And we just thank you for our congregation as we are all coming together as a community to support our children and our young families. And we pray this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. So this is the time in the service where I invite you to greet one another. So we'll put a few social media greetings up on the screen, but then take a moment or two and just shake somebody's hand. Let somebody know you're glad to see him. If there's a face you haven't seen in a while, let them know how much you've missed them. If there's a name you don't know yet, see if you can get to know somebody, and we're going to jump back into singing in just a few moments. Every now and again, you hear a song that really gets your attention, and this is one of those songs. I just love the words. It just takes us into this deeper encounter of who God is. So while you're finishing up your greeting, and you're a friendly bunch, so I know this is going to take a moment, I want to teach you the chorus of this song. So we're going to just sing the chorus so that when we get there, when we all get there, if nothing else, you're going to know it. But the chorus goes like this.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Let's try this song together.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
That chorus.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Rose, all of heaven held its breath to
Till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the blood of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Thank you, Jesus.
Please have a seat, and I'd like to invite Walt to come up and lead us in the time of congregational prayer.
Is this on? Good morning, everyone. So good to be here. So good to be entering a new season of spring. Will you pray with me? Lord God, for this season, thank you for spring. This is a beautiful time of year because we have a new life abounding all around us. Thank you for the sunshine, the wind, the rain, and all the changes that spring brings. We are ever mindful that it is our responsibility to take care of the fabulous planet that you created for us. This is your creation, Lord, and we ask that you guide us and direct us in the best ways to take care of it. Lord, these are trying times, and we need your ever-present guidance. Please help our leaders to do the best job they possibly can. In these times of political, economic, and social uncertainty, you know the best course of action for our United States leaders to take. Please give them the wisdom and the courage to listen to you. We pray for our church missionaries. We pray for all church leaders and our radio team that are broadcasting from Odessa, Ukraine, on New Life Radio, and they have the ability to reach clear into Russia and broadcast Christian radio. Lord, keep them safe and out of harm's way, so they can continue to do your work. We pray for the people of Poland as they care for millions of refugees and for the Nyward family. The daughter of James Tang, who is serving with the Covenant Church in South Sudan. We pray for the safe return after she has gone missing. Lord, we pray for all who are hurting, lonely, sick, for those struggling in their marriages, struggling against addiction, against depression, and those looking for work. We ask, Lord, that you show them the way that you want them to go. Lord, point them to the path that only you know will work for them. Lord, We have many who are grieving and need your help. We pray for the Cooper family as they grieve the passing of Darren. And we pray for Daryl Goodwin as he recovers from shoulder surgery. For the Greenwoods family friend Jake as he recovers from a serious car accident. For Carol Seat's niece Pam as she recovers from stomach surgery. For Linda Strand as she recovers from back surgery. And for Tammy Wilson, who is going through some tough times. Lord, we also pray for healing for John Waldron's mother, who broke her leg at age 93, and her friend Barry, who is facing cancer. Now, let's take a moment to bring our own personal prayers, silent or out loud. Now, Lord, be with Andrew. Guide him and direct him as he teaches us your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Walt, for leading us. Sorry about the new iPad. I could see you. That's a tricky business there.
It's Murphy's Law.
Murphy, yeah.
If you need it,
right,
your printer will go TU right before you're supposed to print it out.
You're not supposed to say TU in church.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Technically,
but notice I do use paper. That's why. Because I don't trust those things. I like technology, but I also should point out we also want to be especially praying for the Garrett family. Ernie, I know many of you have been praying for him and for them. He passed away this week, and so there'll be an announcement about his memorial service coming up soon. So please make sure to pray for the Garrett family. That's also the Tridles, the Favors, as they mourn his passing. So the big question I wanted to talk to y'all about today, you who are here in church, why are you in church? Why are you a part of the local church? And this is also if you're online, because some of you, you know, you're at home, you're recovering from surgery, you're away, but you're sort of connected, but you're not, or at least you're not here in the room physically, but we're still part of things. Why are you part of a local church? Like, what's the appeal? Say it louder, please. Connections with people. Connections. Thanks, Jim. What else? Community. Right. Mission. Mission. We do more together than we can do alone because Bob is super capable, but he can't plant churches in Africa all by himself and in Thailand at the same time and in South America. We need to do it all together. Now, Melissa, what were you saying?
Fellowship.
Okay. Silent people in the back. Why are you all in church? Part of the body of Christ. That's right, Bob. That's right. What do we got? Oh, Debbie said something. Because it's part of God's family. Thanks, Debbie. Because you love Jesus.
To hear the word.
To hear the word. Yeah. To worship together? Yes. Yeah, there's something. I mean, singing is nice and listening to music is nice, but there's something about doing it together. Like when you hear voices together. Now, this doesn't mean that every voice is going to sound nice, but there is something special that happens when we do it together, right? I'm part of something bigger than myself. Why else are you part of the local church? I'm really surprised nobody mentioned the food, because our potlucks are amazing. I'm just saying. For the pastor. Oh, yeah, so it's nice to have like a shepherd, someone you can, that's good. Someone that you can call when your day goes south, it's a tremendous privilege to be a part of some of those conversations and some of those incredible holy moments.
To meet somebody you can call at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, to meet someone that you can call at 2 in the morning. It's one of the great reasons why we get into those connection groups, so we can really know one another. And there's that level of friendship, that level of togetherness. It's possible. Yeah. And we pray for each other. That's right, Bonnie.
To help me grow.
Say that again.
To help me grow.
To help me grow. Right. Because there are some things we can do in just our walk with Jesus on our own, but there's perspective and insight that comes from other believers. And strangely enough, too, it's also sometimes our irritation with other believers that helps us grow. You know, what does it look like to be patient? What does it look like to really forgive? You know, what does it look like to connect with somebody that doesn't always see the world the same way I do, or maybe differently abled than I am? And what's it mean to be family together? There's a lot of pluses to being part of the local church. It is a platform for service, that's right. Like Bob said, with mission, we get to do things together we could never do alone. I mean, I think in the last 2 years in this congregation, how I mean, you've like thousands of pounds of food through local food banks. Thousands and thousands of dollars going out to people in times of need. We've helped people that were on the brink in terms of their rent or their power bill or their water bill or where they got actual help. We did that. And none of that are things that we can do alone. I don't think any of you are that wealthy. But when we pool our resources together, really great things can happen. Now, throughout this series, we've been taking a look at what it means to be part of the local church. And I've been teasing this phrase pretty much every week. The local church is a group of believers following Jesus together. And all these great things come out of that. Connection and discipleship and mission and service and care and the 2 a.m. friends. All of those things, they flow out of our life together following Jesus. And because the local church has such amazing potential, when we truly do that, some of those elements of that same definition of the local church that can most easily get compromised. You know, if the local church is about believers following Jesus together, sometimes we can get ourselves into more of a let's get my spiritual needs met, more of a consumer mentality. We've seen a little bit of that especially in the North American church, where the church can kind of function a little bit like we're seeing in the retail sector. Maybe you've experienced this. You know, you have a for example, a computer problem, and you realize I need a new printer, so you go to a local computer shop. And you talk to an expert behind the counter, and you figure out, oh, this is the printer you actually need, and you need to get these drivers installed. Oh, but that printer, it's not in stock. It'll take us 3 weeks to get it in, and then you get a little bit impatient. So you go on Amazon, you realize you could get it tomorrow for $30 less, and so you walk away from the local store and you place your order, and the next day the day after that, the box arrives, and then you start to wonder why there's so few computer shops. Sometimes we can kind of view the church a little bit like that. You know, we want all of this connection, but what's the way I can get my spiritual needs met in the way that involves the least effort on my part? And sometimes we take the Walmart solution instead of the local store. But the local church can also get itself a little bit twisted around too when we forget that it's not just about being together. It's about following Jesus together. The local church is not just a place to belong, although it certainly is. And maybe you've seen, you know, churches use this slogan. It's a great slogan. You know, you belong here, or find a place to belong. The church is at very least that, and I hope it would always be that. But it's not just about a place to belong. It's a bunch of people who are doing life together for a purpose. We are a bunch of believers who are following Jesus together. Because if the church is just a place of belonging, then whether it's through good intentions or sometimes through bad intentions, sometimes then the question becomes like, so what are the things that I need to do to belong? And the community can feel more about conformity than it is about following Jesus. Now, human nature hasn't changed. And so the early church, of course, it struggled with some of the very same things. The book of Galatians is one of the first letters that Paul wrote to the early church. In this case, it was a series of churches in Galatia that was predominantly Gentile. So these were non-Jewish Christians, kind of the first generation of non-Jewish Christians trying to do church together, trying to follow Jesus together. And they were loving what it meant to be part of this local church. We belong, we've been saved by Jesus. And then, in the midst of this community, some very strong opinions came in. The book of Galatians described it as the Judaizers. So in this group of people that was predominantly ethnically Gentile, ethnically non-Jewish, some folks came in that had a bit of an ethnic advantage. They were Jewish. They came in and they said, listen, if you really want to belong here, here's what you got to do. You got to become more like me. And you got to start following some of these Jewish practices if you really, really want to be a true Christian. And this was a compelling message, but also a dangerous one, which is why Paul writes this letter, because it's not just the local church in this case that's at stake, it's the gospel itself. Are you saved by following Jesus, period? Or are you saved by following Jesus plus adding on this other stuff? In this case, following Jesus, plus add on, if you're male, this particular medical procedure, plus these food laws, plus these dietary laws. Are we saved by Christ alone, or are we saved by Christ plus some other things in addition? The stakes couldn't have been higher. And so this week we are finishing off that series and actually finishing off the book of Galatians. We'll be in Galatians chapter 6, so have your Bibles open. I want to read together this longer passage, verses 1 through 16, and I hope in there you'll kind of pick up on these elements of community life. Like, what does it mean to be a group of believers who are following Jesus together? And then I want us to cycle back on three verses in particular that help to just kind of highlight the importance of what it means to be following Jesus together, so that we don't take our eyes off of the primary purpose of the church. We don't take our eyes off of Jesus and place our focus, place our devotion on something else. So let's read it together. Brothers and sisters, Paul writes, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch out, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And in verse 11, and this is kind of Paul's mark of authenticity. You know, see what large letters I use as I write to you in my own hand. I wonder if he had bad handwriting. He probably did. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Grace and mercy to all who follow this rule. To the Israel of God. So let's cycle back on a few big ideas. Because, see, in this passage, we see there's basically three things we can focus our devotion on. There's three things that we can live for. There's three options for who we're trying to please. The first is this. Sometimes we can live to please ourselves. Verse 8. But whoever sows to please the flesh, my wants, my desires, my best life now, whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So sometimes we can have this, you know, the focus of our devotion can be about ourselves. I can focus on myself. So what's in it? What's in it for me? How do I get my needs met? How can I do the things that I want to do? Now, there's nothing wrong with self-care. In fact, actually, a life in the Spirit and a life of service, self-care is part of it. Taking care of your own needs, especially those needs for rest, those needs for time with the Lord. Those are good, good things. But even those pursuits, they have a purpose. We rest so that we have something to give. We spend time with the Lord because we want to hear from Him and be strengthened by Him so that we can, in turn, strengthen others. Then we move up to verse 12. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Now, the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, we're probably not really thinking, you know, we don't have a lot of controversy nowadays about circumcision necessarily. But the point of this passage and what's going on in the church in Galatia is these new believers, these new Gentile believers, were being pressured to take on some customs that weren't their own, that had nothing to do with them actually following Jesus, and had everything to do with them acting like these other kind of more senior believers. In other words, they were trying to live for the approval of others. Now, if you've ever tried to live to please others, you know that, sometimes that can be impossible. Sometimes it can be really, really hard. But here's the thing to remember. living to please others and seeking the approval of others is actually much, much easier than a life of true faithfulness to Christ. That's what this passage reminds us of. See, it's one thing to be able to say, oh, I completed every item on the checklist. I did everything that I needed to do, whether that's for church membership or to be a part of my connection group, or look, I got my devotional done every single day. It's a different question altogether. To say, Lord, what would you have me do today? How would you have me live? How, Lord, can I please you? Lord, what are you asking me to do in my life? Lord, I want to live for you. And then we find a little bit later in the passage, verse 14. So Paul writes, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. See, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. That God is really looking to try to do something new in you, something new in me. That as we live our lives connected to Him, surrender to Him, have your way in my life, Lord. He'll do new things in you. The fruit of the Spirit will bubble up in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What does success really look like? What do I really want my life to be about? Is it to live for me? Is it to live for the approval of others? Or is it to live to please the Spirit? One of the weird things about being a pastor, and beautiful things about being a pastor. Some of you asked me, you know, even earlier today, so how was your week? And some parts of it, of course, were, it was a fairly busy week, but some parts of it were truly amazing. So, to be able to be present with a family as a beloved father figure is nearing his final moments. And his children, grandchildren, extended family gather around the bedside and we link hands and we pray. Those are holy moments. And they remind us of what really matters in life. What do you really want to be remembered for? Then a few days later, I was doing a song service over at Avamere. And so Jerry and Sandy White, we were just, you know, singing some of the old hymns there. Pat was there. After the song service was over and people were kind of milling around and getting ready to head back to their rooms, I talked to a woman there she's lived there for about 10 years. And I don't have official permission to share this story, so let's just call her M. She had an oxygen hose on. And so I said, hey, you know, what's going on? And, you know, she said, well, I'm dying. And talked about what it meant like for her to be in hospice. And we got to have just a few minutes to talk together about how she's feeling about that. And to recall how, at Avamir, just like at Bonaventure, there are these groups of Christians that are gathering every week. Patty Foster, she's part of leading some of those people in a Bible study. Gathering every week to encourage one another, to open the Word together. And one of the primary reasons it's happening there is because of her, because of him. What do you want your life to be remembered for? So even in her autumn years, she had a ministry. What do you want your life to be known for? The local church is a group of believers who are following Jesus together. So what I need to ask you today is, are you following Jesus? Are you? Because as we give our hearts to him, as we give our lives to him, we get to see the Spirit move in our midst, gets to change us from the inside out. And then when we come together as a group of believers, and we remember what we're really about, which is following Jesus together, truly incredible things can happen. We're the people who have each other's back when we find ourselves in a time of need. We have those 2 a.m. buddies that we can call when we need them. We have people who, just like in this passage, when we foul up, when we make a mistake, when we say something wrong, when we screw up, when we mess up, we have people who come alongside, and just like this passage tells us, who restore one another gently. You don't come down on one another with an iron fist just because you had a slip up. We come alongside as a brother or sister to give a hand up. Hey, let's get back on our feet. Hey, let's do that better next time. We're a group of people who are following Jesus together. We can share in one another's lives, share in one another's joys, share in one another's sorrow. We can encourage one another, strengthen each other, challenge each other, irritate one another in ways that develop the spiritual gifts in our life. So dream with me. Dream with me about the local church. The local church is and can be a group of believers who are following Jesus together. I hope you will invest yourself in a local church. I hope you will let yourself be vulnerable enough to let other people into your life, into your heart. I hope you're willing to work through all of the rough edges and at times the frustrations of truly doing life with other believers. We're not just spiritual consumers. We're a family of faith together. So let's dream together about what the local church can be. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you have such great plans for these local bodies of believers who are following Jesus together. Lord, help us to never take our eyes off of you and who you are and what you are doing and what you want to do in our midst. Lord, may this place, may Columbia Grove truly be a place of grace. May we be a place where we truly invest in one another, where we bear one another's burdens, where we carry one another when we stumble, when we hurt. And Lord, may this be a place where individually and corporately we follow you together. And so I need to ask you again, friend, are you following Jesus? And if you maybe you've had your eyes on just trying to please the people around you, as hard as that can be, are you following Jesus? And if you feel like you've gotten off track, or maybe even faith is a brand new thing to you, I want to invite you to renew that walk or to start that walk. It can be just as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Guide me. Lead me. Forgive me. Make me your own. Work in me. And so whether your walk with the Lord is a recent thing, or whether this has been part of your journey for many, many years, just invite you, just take a moment, just even under your breath right now as you're thinking about this, just to maybe pray a prayer or something like this. Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And just allow some time just between you and the Lord for what that means. Listen to the voice of the Spirit in your soul. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And as you're allowing the Holy Spirit to meet you there, would you take a moment, even just silently or under your breath, just to even pray for the local church? Pray for the believers around you. The people in your life today that might be hurting or struggling, especially those other believers. Just take a moment to pray for them. Lord, increase my compassion for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I want to be a part of following you together. Take a moment, pray for the local church and your part in it. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, may we be a group of believers, part of a group of believers who are truly following you together. Amen. Thank you.
invite us to stand. Let's just pour out our hearts to Him. Please have a seat. I invite you to take out those communion packets that you probably received as you were coming through the door. And if you're joining us from home or from wherever you're joining us from, I invite you to find some bread, find some juice. If for some reason you didn't get a communion packet and you'd like one, just put your hand up. We'll get one to you real fast. The very act of receiving communion together, this in my mind, just points to the genius of God. It's like, I want you to remember what I did for you. Let me give you something that'll help you understand what I meant by that.
body, the blood, and that we receive it in a way that links us together. I mean, what's more communal than eating? The Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, as he's dining with his disciples, as he's anticipating his death, he takes bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this together. Do this remembering me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. It's a powerful reminder of what Jesus did for you, for me, and for us. So here's what I'd like us to do. I'm going to lead us in a very short prayer, and then I'd like you to serve one another, to look somebody in the eye, even if you don't maybe know their name, but to look somebody in the eye and speak these words as they eat the bread, and then speak these words as they drink the little juice. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. I'd like you to say those words out loud to one another as we partake. Lord, help us to remember what you did for us. Lord, help us to remember how your act of sacrifice not only reconciles us individually to God, but Lord, reconciles us corporately to you. That it forms a brand new family of faith. That we follow you individually, but also together. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. Amen. Serve one another. Serve one another in Jesus' name. Serve one another. Don't let anybody be left out. Don't let anyone be left out. Let's sing that verse again. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being. Hold o'er my being. Absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit. Till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Invite us to stand. Let's sing that line again, Lord. So fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Let's join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, and speak them out loud together as a family of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Andrew. Everybody have a seat real quick. Just a quick, couple quick announcements. Yard sale items are still being accepted on Sunday afternoon, right after the service, Tuesday mornings, 10 to 12, Thursday afternoon from 4 to 5:30 in the back room back there for yard sale items. It's getting full, but we can always use more, and more and more and more is always good as well. Next thing, annual meeting. 5 minutes after this service ends, roughly we'll start our annual meeting, go out and grab a cup of coffee, come back yawn in if you're a member. If you're a non-member, attender of the church, you want to hear about what's going on, kind of behind the scenes, feel free to stick around. We're 100% transparent here. Only thing is you cannot vote on any of the, for the budget or for any of the officers of the church. But you're more than welcome to stay. Shouldn't be a real long meeting. I'm hoping 30 minutes or less. So, and if you are a member, please stay. Make sure we get our quorum so we can have the annual meeting. And on behalf of myself, and I'm sure the entire church, welcome home, Brent.
They're still giving me the mic, so they didn't learn from the first time, I guess. Well, I'm just grateful for all the blessings and the prayers and the gifts to our family. It's been amazing, and I feel amazing, and I'm just blessed and just grateful for just for everything. So thank you. But that's not really why I'm up here. I'm here to tell you about all the great things that the leadership team is doing. So one of the highlights we wanted to give you is there is a movement here in the Valley to help serve and love the Ukrainian refugee families that are coming in. And there are some here, and we're expecting maybe even upwards of 100 families to come into this valley. We have a strong Ukrainian family presence in this valley and in the area, and so that's why we're seeing this larger influx than maybe you would think. So there is a group that is organizing to help serve these families. Some of them need temporary assistance. Some of them are going to be here potentially not going back. So our outreach and missions group has decided to be a part of that group. And so we'll see in the future some opportunities for us to serve and help with that organization. The next thing is July 4th. We're going to, again, host a 4th of July fireworks viewing here in the church in the parking lot. We always have folks that show up from the community to watch because it's a great viewing platform. We thought after last year where we had a little in-church ice cream social and viewing, and we saw the parking lot fill up because they couldn't go and watch it down at Walla Walla, that, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to showcase our church and let the community know that we're more than just a parking lot to view the fireworks. So we'll see some more details there. We're going to welcome folks as they come in and give them a little brochure of thanks for coming and just be respectful on our property. And we'll have an ice cream social in here, and the public will be welcome to join that. So put that on your calendars, July 4th. Great place to view the fireworks and have some free ice cream too. Root beer floats, I guess, right? Yeah. Can't forget the root beer. Last thing, anyone excited to see communion come back? Yes. Anyone want to see the consistent nursery and children's ministry going? Absolutely. There's got folks that are new in here. There's probably folks in the audience that are going, what's this guy? I don't even know him. Who is he? So, hi, I'm new here, kind of. But those folks that are coming in new, we want to make sure that they get greeted, right? We want to make sure they feel welcome. Yes. So, does that fall on Pastor Andrew and Pastor Paul? No, they don't have the time for that. What that falls on is each and every one of us to volunteer. Didn't know you're getting a sales pitch, were you? We really, as we regrow this church after the pandemic and after, you know, all the craziness that's gone on, we need some new volunteers. And we're not asking for much of your time. maybe 10 or 15 minutes show up early, 10 or 15 minutes show up late, stay late. Don't show up late. Don't be like us. Or during the week, there's all kinds of volunteer opportunities that are flexible for your schedule, whether it's ushering, whether it's communion, whether it's serving in the nursery, children's church. What else am I missing? Greeting, all those types of things. We need bodies to do that so that we can bring that aspect back here to our church. So please, if that's something that's interesting to you, see this man right here. See me, see anyone else from the leadership team. If you're interested, we want to hear, and we'll find you a place to do it. If you don't know what to do for communion or anything that's like that, that's the easy part. We can show you how to do that. So please volunteer so that we can see those opportunities come back, because that's what's going to bring folks back into the door and feel welcome and feel nourished. So on behalf of the leadership team, thank you so much, and back to Paul.
Thank you, Brant. Let's close our service in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, each of us has our own unique story as to how we found you. Thank you that for that journey and meeting us right where we are, whether it was in a happy time or in depths of pain. Today we are reminded that we are people who are led by the Spirit. As we close this worship service this morning, I want to just pray for our annual meeting, the processes that have been established, the hours of work that have gone into budgets, people volunteering for positions. May they all be blessed, and most importantly, open communication. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being here, whether you're online or in person. God bless you. Always remember, love like Jesus. Depart in peace, but come back in 5 minutes. Thank you, everybody. Amen.